The European Central Bank this morning, as expected, announced that it is going to be winding down its bond purchases. As I noted earlier, Brian Chung, the ECB president, Christine Lagarde, she didn't call it tapering, right? I think she said recalibration, or she used some other various euphemisms for what they're doing. But we would call it tapering in American.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the challenge, though, is that the ECB's asset purchase program is a little bit different than what the Federal Reserve is trying to pull off here. Now, of course, if we back up, we did get a policy announcement from the ECB Governing Council earlier this morning, and the ECB keeping rates unchanged. They said the euro area recovery is advancing, but they said the economy is not yet doing as well as it can. But they did say it was still good enough to start winding down its pandemic emergency purchase program, also known as PEP. But it's important to note that this is separate from the APP, which is their asset purchase program. That was the quantitative easing program, if you will, that was launched after the financial crisis, restarted in 2019. That's a separate purchase program than what they added during the pandemic. The APP program is really just supposed to stop any sort of disinflationary pressures that were seen before the pandemic. But the PEP program is supposed to be a supplement to battle any sort of economic disruption, which could include inflationary factors in this particular crisis. So two separate things, whereas in the United States, all of its asset purchases, which is currently pacing about $120 billion a month, is just simply one program. So the APP is unchanged. The PEP program is winding down. So Lagarde, again, as you mentioned, saying this is a calibration, not necessarily a tapering, but a lot of other people that are a bit skeptical about the semantics say, look, at the end of the day, you're winding down these purchases. It is tapering. Very interesting to see if the Federal Reserve takes a look at that as they head towards the next Fed policy meeting later this month, guys.
Brian, sounds like a lot of OMG to me over here. That's a lot going on over across the seas. But look, Fed officials here in the U.S. Are dropping some more trial balloons on a potential early taper from the Fed.
Yeah, well, I mean, some Fed officials are not shying at all from the T word. And we did hear from the likes of Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan just yesterday. And he was saying that, quote, I don't see a fundamental change in the outlook after that lower than expected 235,000 job gains, a report that we saw for the month of August, which was released last Friday. But other Fed officials are backing off from that lackluster report. So even though Kaplan says it's not changing my thinking with regards to announcing something in the September 22nd meeting, you have the likes of Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic, who before last Friday had said he might support something along that Kaplan timeline. But he now says, quote, the weaker data that we've seen more recently suggests to me that maybe there's a chance for some play on this. But I still think that sometime this year is going to be appropriate. That was to the Wall Street Journal, which sets up a very interesting September 22nd meeting. Of course, those are only two of 18 members of the policy deciding FOMC committee. So with Powell saying that, at least in the Jackson Hole meeting, there was some sort of taper timeline, at least by the end of this year. The question is whether or not that timing is going to be September, November, or December.
And Brian, finally, let's get personal about one of the Fed officials. That's Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. Now, I think 11 of the 12 Feds have disclosed the trading that the Fed presidents have done over the past year. Kaplan's are interesting in particular. And this is a guy who used to work at Goldman Sachs. And apparently he or whoever is trading on his behalf was pretty active last year.
Yeah, well, it's never a good thing when these types of things are in the headlines. But this is a report that was originally broken by the Wall Street Journal. But these are the holdings or stock holdings that were done by the Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan, as disclosed by the bank itself. These cover all transactions that were purchased and sold within the course of 2020. Again, that were over $1 million in size. You can see a number of big names on there. Verizon, which was our former parent company here at Yahoo. You can also see Alibaba, Chevron, Delta, Facebook, General Electric, Apple. A lot of questions about how these types of trades were allowed to happen by someone who is as powerful as a policy setter on the FOMC. Now, keep in mind that the reserve banks themselves are part of the Federal Reserve System. They're quasi-private entities from the perspective that they do report to the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in Washington, D.C., which is a federal government agency, but independent. But of course, these reserve banks, because the fact that they're kind of private, kind of public, they have their own rules about governing these types of trades. However, it's worth mentioning the Wall Street Journal reported that the Dallas Fed general counsel did approve these trades. There are restrictions that are in place per the code of conduct in terms of restricting the Federal Reserve President's ability to invest in, say, banks, but a little bit looser when it comes to investing in other types of publicly traded companies outside of the banking industry, which may have explained these types of trades. And worth mentioning, the Boston Fed president also getting a bit of scrutiny from a Bloomberg report because of his potential stakes in some real estate investment trusts. So again, not necessarily good for the optics of these Fed presidents, but keep in mind, these rules that are beholden to the Federal Reserve governors, like the likes of Jay Powell, not necessarily the same and likely more stringent than what we see with the Federal Reserve Bank presidents, guys.
Interesting. All right. Speaking of the Jay Powell, I just wanted to get the latest on his prospects to continue in his role, because there is some more reporting out there as to sort of the jockeying that appears to be going on in Washington around whether he will be reappointed.
Yeah, well, when it comes to the jockeying, and I apologize, there's a siren going on outside my apartment, but when it comes to Jay Powell himself, obviously the focus is really on that timeline. His term as Fed chair expires in February of next year, which means that we know how slowly Congress and the Senate tend to move on nominations. We know that the Biden administration will likely have to move relatively soon to get something done. Now, of course, when it comes to who is the person who's in the front running for whether or not that's Powell to get renominated, or maybe the likes of a Lael Brainard, who's currently a Fed governor, to replace him, it's really uncertain. We have to keep in mind that Powell was not necessarily the front runner when the Trump administration was weighing whether or not to renominate Janet Yellen at the end of 2017. Ultimately, they ended up going with Powell in the beginning of 2018. So it seems like this horse race could indeed change as we do get closer to whenever that announcement date might be. The White House saying, despite the fact that they're convening the team to try to talk about who potential candidates might be, saying that they'll address this in a timely manner, but that monetary policy will be front of mind as they consider possible candidates. So we'll see if there are developments in the coming weeks. But again, White House not with too much time on trying to move on a potential Fed chair announcement.
Yes, although I guess their idea of timely might be different than the market's idea of timely in that case. Thanks so much, Brian Chung. I don't know if that siren was a sign and of what.
As you were talking about. I like that.
All right. Thanks so much, Brian. Appreciate it.